Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Are you tired of the typical libraries with conventional music that makes you feel meh? Introducing Lyrics.com, the music website made for and by minds like you. Our team are lifelong musicians and producers in love with music. Search the Lyrics music catalogs and find music with guaranteed originality. Mark the difference with Music of Signature at Lyrics.com.
Soldiers need something to believe in. We don't grow old, so won't let go of the feeling. I believe in truth, I'll march to the drum. All good soldiers know.
What amazing voice! Very, very classy. This is incredible. We have with us the Singularity and Julian, who's behind this project, with us to talk about all this music. Hi, Julian. How's it going?
Hi, Antoine. Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you. This is very, very special. When you hear this music, you know, there are details that tell you very clearly, you know very, very well what you're doing. It has a very spectacular, very unique sound. For example, I notice the snare is a little bit distorted. Obviously, it's part of the sound, the peculiarity of what you're doing. Your voice is very educated, very classy. Everything here sounds special. So please, take the floor, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your music.
Well, firstly, thank you very much. That's lovely of you to notice. I definitely spend a lot of time in detailing the productions and things like that. You're playing All Good Soldiers, I understand. That's the song.
We are listening to the song All Good Soldiers.
Yeah, wonderful. That's one of my favorites. It's a more guitar oriented than a lot of the stuff that's on the album, the upcoming album, but I've been kind of veering a bit more guitar oriented because I noticed that, you know, there isn't that much rock and roll around in the world at the moment, and of course I'm a huge so I'm a huge, you know, Bowie fan. I'm a huge fan of Radiohead and bands like that, and they tend to be a bit more guitar oriented, and I've been touring around in a synth pop band for quite a while now, and obviously I've acquired a lot of synths, and I realized that, you know, my guitar is my first instrument, so I wanted to get back to my roots, I think, and in All Good Soldiers I also, you know, decided to play some kind of active bass, like live bass, and then I recorded the drums, and you're right, I used a distortion on the snare to kind of give it a bit more crack and punch. So yeah, I mean, that's... I'm Julian Chartaylor. Hi. I used to go under the name The Singularity because at the time the name wasn't being used by any other bands. But unfortunately, with the advent of Spotify, all these other bands started using that name. So now I'm principally going under my own name, Julian Chartaylor. So, and I make... And what you heard on All Good Soldiers, I played everything there. But I'm actually... For the new album, which is coming out in October, I've drafted in some of my friends to come and play on the record with me, which is a thrill because some of them have been quite successful in other bands in the past.
Absolutely, absolutely. You, as we were speaking before, kind of like gave me a lyric hint about it, and I was blown away. This is incredible. Could you please mention them and tell us a little bit more about your collaborators,
yeah,
please?
Absolutely. Well, one of my good friends who is currently touring with the synth pop band is Chris Olivas, who played drums with Berlin for 20 odd years, I think. And he's just a fantastic drummer. We've been friends for a while now, and he's played on a couple of songs, and I hope he'll put drums on some more. So he played drums on some of the songs, because, you know, I play drums, but I'm not that great. So he is absolutely brilliant. He just, you know, sits down in a room, and when we're on tour, I sample him playing drums all the time, and I put them into my, you know, Pro Tools timeline and jam around with them. And so hopefully we'll call that a bunch of co-writes in the future. So Chris has been playing drums on some things. I have a fruitful and long-standing collaboration with David Jay, who is Bauhaus's bass player. So he crops up on a couple of the songs on the record. He was also in Love and Rockets, and he's touring with Bauhaus. So although I would have him on more stuff, he's a bit unobtainable currently. On one of the songs, I have Carmine Rojas, who was David Bowie's bass player through Let's Dance and the Glass Spider tour. I think for a lot of other Bowie shows as well. He also played Rod Stewart and a lot of other, I think not Grace Jones, but anyway, some of the classic soul acts he was the bass player for. I also have Alan White, who is Morrissey's principal songwriter, playing guitar on one of the songs. He's a long-standing friend. We came up in the same circles in London. And now he lives in Pasadena near me. So we see each other every now and then. Our kids play. And who else? MGT plays guitar on a couple of songs. He played with Tricky and The Mission UK, Wonder Stuff. And I think that's it for collaborators. Mainly they've come to my studio and just played, you know, they've come up with their own stuff. I let them just go wild because obviously they're all special and fantastic. So there, that's who's been on the new album.
It's amazing. It's amazing. This is like a list. This is heaven's list. This is incredible. It's, you know, there's so much to discuss regarding this. Your journey from London, like you were saying, to Los Angeles or California, right?
And yeah.
Wow, all of these synergies and collaborations, all these great artists. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Well, I mean, I was in London. I was in a very successful band, which was touring and headlining festivals in the early 2000s. And we came with Peaches on tour. It was kind of do you remember the Electro Clash movement? So we were one of the big Electro Clash bands, and we went on tour in America with Peaches, and we were the support to the headliner of Peaches, and we went all the way around the East Coast, all the way through the South, all the way up the West Coast, all the way to Canada. And we met some people up in San Jose, which is just north of Los Angeles, who supported us, called Woven. And the bass player from Woven and his girlfriend were there, and we really hit it off just on that one show. So they invited me, if I ever wanted to come and stay in Los Angeles, to come stay at their house. So I ended up moving into their house eventually and playing in their band, which was called PL at the time, which is fantastic. And I will recommend that you seek out PIEL, American band. They are spectacularly good. And so I ended up just like moving, because I felt, okay, well, I've been in London all this time. I left the band, the Electro Clash band, because unfortunately I had a falling out with the singer, and just decided, okay, well, I've turned my life on its head. I might as well go across the world. So I ended up in Los Angeles and, you know, started just recording and producing people and remixing and doing a lot of work, honestly, and session playing and touring with different bands. And now I'm in this synth pop band that's touring. And so you know, I'm just putting a new album together. I guess that's the story of why I went to Los Angeles.
Wow. Well, it's incredible. And what I'm learning here is that there's always the typical, you know, archetypical saying when, you know, door closes, another one opens. You took that as an opportunity to start something anew that actually belongs to you. As I understand, you went singing at the time. You're singing.
Well, I was singing in different projects, but the very successful one I was co-writing with the singer, and he was a brilliant guy and a genius. I'm not going to mention the band because I just don't wish to give him any publicity. but he you know, he was very dismissive of my involvement in what we were doing, and I felt very sort of sidelined. So that's why I left. And I needed to do something for myself. There's something that to get all these melodies and musicality out into the world. And it's taken me a while, to be honest. I have, three finished albums under my name that are up on Spotify and all the streaming platforms and all that stuff. But I have so many records that are also, I've released about 15 albums, I think, in my life.
That is incredible. It's a long, very fruitful career that you have. It's very, very, we have a really, really heavy weight with us. Again, Julian, the singularity. Okay, so it is a good opportunity to talk about your process. You were mentioning, how do I put out all those melodies that I have inside me? Tell us a little bit of your process. You play all the instruments, you produce and record and produce yourself. Do you want to tell us a bit about, you know, in your own studio? How's your process?
I mean, the best would probably be to talk about the new record, which is a very focused process. It's actually the story of a love affair from, you know, the day I met the muse to the current moment. And so it goes through, you know, all of that is this, literally the story. Like, you know, I experience each moment of that relationship developing or falling apart or whatever it might be, I write it down. My process as a songwriter is always to take an experience, and mostly I write from negative experiences. That seems to be a lot of the bands I love, like Depeche Mode, Bowie, The Cure. It's taking negative experiences and turning them into art, you know, because it takes the experience and it there's a catharsis in putting it down and recording it. Once I've exemplified that emotion into music, it can be dealt with by myself rather than, you know, dwelling on it. I mean, it seems to take that. Do you know Harry Potter?
Yes.
There's the concept of the pensive, which is Dumbledore's sort of bowl of thoughts. So he takes thoughts out and puts them in this bowl, and they stay there. That's what it feels like to me, to extricate the pain from an experience or the joy and to put it into a beautiful little moment, which would be a song. So that tends to be how I see songwriting. And then the recording process of it, obviously, is just an intellectual musical experience. So, you know, and how to interweave the bass with the drums, with the guitars and all that stuff. And you know, I'm still learning. I worked on a few of the songs on the album were co-produced with Robert Margalef, who produced Stevie Wonder and Devo and Oingo Boingo. I worked with him on, I think, 5 songs. So 3 of those at least will be on the album. So that's exciting. I'm also working with a artist called David Chatfield, who's remixing a few of my songs. He's worked with Kim Fowley in the past and had number one singles, and mainly in the remix field. But yeah, I mean, for this album, I'm pulling out all the heavy hitters. All my friends who know what I'm doing.
I mean, I'm enjoying every word you're saying. This is incredible. About these, you know, I really connected with that concept that you were talking about, from moment at meeting the muse to the present moment. in the journey in that order of steps, I really connected with that concept. Really, really like it. So tell us more about this upcoming record, everything we can know about it that you want to share.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are songs where, you know, I actually met the Muse the evening of the show, and then I went back home and I wrote a song about that experience. I did not know that I would ever see her again. And so I wrote this song that was inspired by this moment. And then, of course, you know, when I did see her again, there was a joy attached to that. So I wrote another song that was related to that. And then as we progressed the relationship and the relationship developed, there were ups and downs. So something like All Good Soldiers, for example, was dealing with a series of pieces of information that I was coming to terms with. And I had to write about that story and how it sort of woven in with my experience and my feelings towards it. Then there's another song which is called Evolution, which is a sort of promise to the Muse that, you know, I will evolve my way of looking at things. There's another song which is called it's called Head Up High, which is, you know, when you go through these negative experiences, and the negative experience is written down in that particular style. And when I write a song that is unhappy, I will put it into a context sonically that reflects that, you know, with all dark synths and with acoustic guitar, because there's intimacy there. I try to reflect the depth of emotion with the instrumentation that's used. And I feel that that's important, and it's sort of like it resonates. It's like if you have a synth pop song with miserable lyrics, it doesn't reflect the intimacy that's felt by the emotion. So I want to put something raw in there, like a raw guitar solo, a raw acoustic guitar. And so, you know, all the songs change sonically through the record as well. And of course, you know, with songs where I involve Alan White, I just let Alan do what he wants, because he's, you know, one of the most well-regarded guitar players in the world by my context. And, you know, I won't put restrictions on David J. I'll just let David J put something down. And then if I need to add bass as well, then I'll do that. So it's all hybrid. I want the best thing for the song, and I want the best thing for the song within the context of the album. So I feel, you know, the process is not just songwriting. It's soundscaping and all that stuff.
It's amazing. Amazing. I'm loving the way that you are describing the process. It's so visual. So visual. It's wonderful. Okay, so I think you told me that you're currently on tour. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
I'm in... So I've been referencing this synth pop band that I'm playing with. I play in Depeche Mode, a tribute band called Strange Love. So I play the role of Alan White, and sometimes I open up. Alan Wilder. I play the role of Alan Wilder, who's the keyboard player for Depeche Mode until 97 or something. I don't remember when he left. And so we play a lot. We're quite successful. We play large shows. We're currently in Daryl's house for tonight. Yesterday was Daryl's house. We sold out. And then tonight we're playing. Hopefully we'll sell out again tonight. And so, you know, I get the opportunity to play a lot of shows. I'm playing every week. So once this album is made, I'm going to have to figure out, you know, whether I can open up for Strangelove or do some big shows. I mean, I'm working that aspect of playing out. The album is called Elysium, A History of a Love. So Elysium is the bar in Austin where I was playing with Strangelove when I first met the Muse.
Elysium, wow, this is a lot of fantastic information about you. Strangelove. And how do you feel in like being part of a tribute band, and you're doing this as a living, I am assuming. This is wonderful. You know, like for many musicians, we'd be living like the dream. Like, how do you feel?
It's great. I mean, it's great. I love I love being, having the opportunity. I play in two tribute bands. I do a Bowie tribute where I do Bowie, and I do Depeche Mode, you know, with Strangelove. And yes, of course. I mean, I'm playing the music that I love, that has inspired me, and it's wonderful. It is not, however, creatively expressive. So yes, it's living the dream. But I do need to make my own music. It's not possible to abdicate responsibility for that just because I'm making money doing tribute.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes I've known cases of other bands doing tribute and also enjoying playing large venues, traveling, being on tour. It's not mutually exclusive with being a songwriter, wanting to do your own thing and you know, like building up something for the future that is your own as well. And
I mean, it's one of the criticisms, you know. It's funny, people find tribute bands divisive because some people are really into it because they understand what it is. And some people are just like, why don't you just make your own music? You can't even make your own music. And they're very sort of sour about it, which is strange because, you know, we can get up on stage and perform. And it's an acting gig as much as it is a musical gig. We get up on stage and perform songs that people love in the way that they remember them. It's like a wonderful nostalgic journey. And we are honored.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
To be able to do that, it's lovely that people get joy from what we do, and we love that. We don't begrudge it or feel sour about that in any sense. But yeah, I mean, it's, if you're a creative person, it can be stifling to play somebody else's songs night after night. I mean, when you got bands like Bowie and Depeche Mode, it's like those songs, there are so many great songs that they've both made. So you can dive in and get very, very intimate with the catalog. I actually do, every now and then, I'll do a live stream of Bowie songs. That's just me playing Bowie songs in my living room. And people love it. They'll tune in, you know, watch their Facebook screen with me playing these songs. And I'll play some really deep cuts. Like last show I did, Memory of a Free Festival by Bowie. And of course, you know, nobody knows that song except the real Bowie fans. And people are thrilled that I'll do that stuff because, I mean, I am a real Bowie fan and I will play those songs. I'm a real Depeche Mode fan and I'll play those songs for pleasure, for me. So, you know, it's not such a bad thing to be in a tribute band for a band you absolutely adore. Now, if I had to play a Ted Nugent or Journey tribute band, I would not be happy. Not to disparage Ted Nugent and Journey, it's just not my thing, you know?
Right, it's different tastes. For everybody. Okay, so yeah, we left that aspect clear, and I think you explained it extremely, extremely well. Let's focus now on your, of course, let's focus now on your future, what you pursue. If you could never fail and you could design your perfect future the way that you want it, tell us, how does it look like?
My perfect future would be the television. I've written a television show, which is being pitched at the moment, which includes all my music.
Awesome.
So my perfect future is that TV show is on the air. the music is being propagated around the world, and I am touring in support of the TV show, and that is my perfect future. Musical future. There are other things I'd like in life, but musical future, that's what I'd like. The TV show and me touring the music that is featured on the TV show. And then that's great. That's what I'd like.
It sounds fantastic. And we'll wish you that you obtain that and you get it. This is, I'm getting surprise after surprise. Written a television show. Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that up. I'm trying to keep the interview focused on the new album. But yes, okay. So I basically written a comedic half hour episodic television show about my experiences in music and touring and recording and all that stuff. It's basically Spinal Tap meets the Monkees, and it features two original songs per episode. There are two bands featured in it, which I wish to be real musicians cast who can actually go and tour the music between, you know, seasons of the show. And obviously, you know, I would love to be able to then tour as myself, but it's written about younger kids. It's written about me when I was in my early 30s, which I feel, you know, I should be played by the people of that age group, because it's when I was doing it. I want it to be that. I don't want it to be me doing those songs, because, you know, I'm quite happy to leave those songs, which I wrote in my 30s, to somebody who is that, because I've written so much subsequently that is good or better. So I want to separate them in that way. And I want to leave, because I place a lot of music in film and TV as it is. I have stuff in Breaking Bad, wow. The OC, Grand Theft Auto 4. You know, a lot of, I did something with Lana Del Rey for Maleficent. Like, there's a lot of stuff subsequent to that era that I can just keep for myself, but also I want that to do work for me. I want kids to go tour my music for me, which I think is a fun idea.
Amazing. It's amazing. I really like, I would watch that. I really would like to see something like that, definitely. So, yeah, hopefully.
Oh, it's funny. It's funny. I mean, it's not dark, but it has moments of darkness in it. But it is, you know, I want it to be a funny show that people can watch, which has layers. I want my friends, I want David J to be a recurring character in it, you know, a cameo. I want, you know, Perry Farrell to just be standing in the bar while the action is going on, and Perry Farrell's in the background. I want it to be that sort of Easter egg star spotting thing. You know, I want it to be a lot of fun. And we know enough musicians between us that they will come in and just stand in for one day. So yeah, it'll be a fun show.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something, I don't think there's anything like this right now, and this is something I would personally enjoy to watch. So hopefully, you know, you'll get it.
Well, thank you, Ant. I feel like, you know, that's my hope for the money making project.
Okay. So, you know, a little bit in the spirit, I think it's somehow connected to your story, to your show. Normally, we'd like to ask if you had the chance to give an advice to your younger self, what would you say?
I would say, you know, don't worry about what other people think. Pursue what you want to do, and also do it in a way. I made a big mistake when I was in my youth, in my 20s and 30s. I did not want to be famous, because I felt that fame was, you know, a fault. Like, to pursue fame was a negative trait. But what I've realized is that when people know who you are, they'll pay you to do work. Now, if they don't know who you are, you always have to take poorly paid work. So that's a very pragmatic thing I would tell myself, because I have literally deliberately avoided being photographed and being, you know, considered at the center of projects. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be part of a team, but not the face of the team, and that was foolish. And you know, I don't feel the choice was wrong, because it felt right to me at the time. But that's something you should always really sort of understand. People want to recognize you in an iconic way. They don't want to sort of hear from some bass player that your guitar playing is good. They want to know exactly who you are. Does that make sense?
Actually, yes. And actually, strikes a chord. Honestly, this is one of those advice that actually got to ring something inside me. This is actually, like you said, it's really, really, really pragmatic and very true. Even though, you know, it's probably morally or whatever, you know.
It's uncomfortable seeking
uncomfortable,
fame.
Right, but I guess, like, you're right. I mean, what you're saying is, it's true. Yeah. Okay. Julian, what an awesome, absolute pleasure to have you. We could talk for hours, for days. I really hope that, you know, we stay in touch. And you have outstanding, wonderful plans. And hopefully they will work out.
Thank you very much, Antoine. It's been a real pleasure.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you. And now we're going to enjoy a little bit more of All Good Soldiers.
Marvelous.
All good soldiers know the shadows they are lighting to win the war, the sacrifice they are making. I believe our love will win in the end. Without love, we are lost.
Of the typical libraries with conventional music that makes you feel meh. Introducing Lyrics.com, the music website made for and by minds like you. Our team are lifelong musicians and producers in love with music. Search the Lyrics music catalogs and find music with guaranteed originality. Mark the difference with Music of Signature at Lyrics.com.